1 Corinthians 10. Let's stand as we read God's word. And 1 Corinthians 10, I promise you I will be quick. Give our chaperones time to get some rest before they got to go to work in the morning, recoup some of their sleep. I am going to read the whole chapter. I'm not going to preach the whole chapter, but stay with me as we're journeying through the book of 1 Corinthians. But let's read together 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And here's our text for tonight. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered, is sacrificed unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? And Paul answers it right here. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, so thankful, God, to be back in your house on Sunday night. Lord, so good to see our church full. Lord, if I didn't know better, I think it was a Sunday morning. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for the faithfulness of your people. Lord, have a desire, Lord, to grow and to become more like you. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us, Lord, as we expound this text a little bit tonight, as we explain what you've already given us, Lord, that we can take some truths and apply them to our own lives so that when we leave this place tonight, Lord, that we can be more like you. Lord, we'll praise you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Y'all know last week and then this week we've been dealing with the thought on limits of liberty. Limits of liberty. Paul said in the book of Galatians that the Lord, when we got saved, we have freedom in Christ. There's liberty that we have. And your Christian liberty is a wonderful thing. I told you to write down these five principles. I'm going to give them to you again briefly. Let's go over them. Christian liberty is not as much about knowledge as it is about love. It's not how much you know, But more or less, it's how much you love people. You can know the whole Bible inside and out, but if you don't love people, you've missed the whole counsel of the Word of God. Number two, Christian liberty is not a right to be demanded, but a practice to consider very carefully. Number three, Christian liberty, when not accompanied by self-control, misses the mark. And other times you'll have people say, well, I've got liberty, and they'll take the liberty and they'll use it for a license to do whatever they want. They've completely missed the mark of Christian liberty. Listen, Christian liberty is not a license to do what we want, but it is a license that God would get the glory out of our life. Number four, Christian liberty is not an occasion to gratify your flesh. Number five, Christian liberty seeks to glorify God and to lift up others. That's what we'll be dealing with tonight. I gave you, you see where Paul said in verses 14 through 21, he gives a command to flee. We know that those Corinthian believers, they were up in the pagan temple and they had the head knowledge. They knew that that meat, there wasn't nothing wrong with it. That's why Paul said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. They ate that meat and they knew that there was nothing wrong with it. But the problem was there was up in that worship place who were worshiping idols, and they were guilty by association. They were causing people to stumble. And so Paul says, listen, you need to flee that stuff. There was a command to flee, but then there was a caution to figure. Look what he says with me in verse number 22. Verse number 22, he says this, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Paul is giving a caution there. He says, remember, we learned last week, there's more going on behind the scenes. We understand that these idols and these pagan idols that they had set up, that they're eating in that temple, we understand that that was nothing. He says, listen, these are just little, there's nothing to them. They're not real gods. But what you don't understand is that there's demons working behind the scene, and anything that causes us not to worship God, demons are all for it. And he's saying this, listen, it may not be anything to you, but you need to understand there's demons working behind the scene. Listen, if the devil can keep us from worshiping the one true God, that's all he needs to do. If he can keep us from worshiping the one true God, listen, he's for it. He's all for it. Paul gives a caution. He says, you provoke the Lord to jealous. Our God is a jealous God. Number three, that's what I'm going to give you tonight. Number three, a criteria to follow. Look in chapter 11, verse number 1. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Can I just throw this out there? Don't be following people who ain't following Christ. That's a simple truth, isn't it? If they're not following the Lord, we don't got no business following them. We ought to follow people. One of the preachers said this week, and man, we ought to be around people who are more spiritual than we are. Because if we hang around people who are less spiritual, guess what's going to happen? We're going to become less spiritual. And if we hang around people who are on the same level as us, we're never going to grow. I want to get around some good men in our church, man, who are spiritual and who love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul. Paul says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. A criteria to follow. Something to follow. Now, we're dealing with the limits of liberty. You know that every good thing God has given us has limits. Every good thing God has given us has boundaries. And we're not to go outside of those limits. We're not to go outside of those boundaries. But some limits to liberty tonight. Let me give you this one. Let me give you a couple things. You write them down if you want to, and we'll go eat a donut. And all God's people said, amen. All right, first one is this. Your liberty is limited by its impact on the lost. Your liberty is limited by its impact on the lost. Would you look with me in verse number 33 of chapter number 10? Verse number 33 of chapter number 10. Now, let me ask this before we read that. Was Paul a people pleaser in the understanding that he would compromise what he believed in just to please men? No. He never compromised. He never sacrificed his standards, but he sought to please men as long as he didn't lower them standards. Does that make sense tonight? By the way, we ought to do the same thing, but let's read together. He says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, look at the next five words, that they may be saved. Paul is saying, there's some things that I could do, but I'm not gonna do because I want to see people saved. There's some limits there to his liberty. Verse number 23, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Listen, low conduct in Christian living is connected to little regard for the lost. In other words, your Christian liberty has a direct impact on a lost and dying world. And those that abuse that liberty are causing people to get as far away from Jesus Christ as possible. Your liberty is limited by its impact on the lost. Paul's letting us know he's got liberty. But abuse of Christian liberty will result in repelling people away from Jesus. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that we got to be religious nutcases. There are some religious nutcases. They isolate themselves and they act like, they can't ever come in contact. They act like the world's got leprosy, and so they isolate themselves. Listen, we ain't ever going to win people that way. Listen, we can be in the world, but not of the world. Amen? But Paul is saying that your lifestyle, our lifestyle can cause the world to question. Like I said, I'm not saying that we got to be religious nutcases tonight, but last time I checked, my Bible did say, be ye holy as I'm holy. Amen? There ought to be a different, our lifestyle ought to be a little bit different than the world. In fact, let me go back and correct what I just said. It ought to be a whole lot different than the world. That liberty is limited when it comes to lost people. Whatever happened to God's people saying, I'm going to sacrifice some things so I can win some people to Christ? Whatever happened to God's people saying, you know what, I could do that, but I'm going to give that up because I want to see people saved. That's what Paul's dealing with. He says, there's some things I could do, but I'm not going to do because I want to see people saved. Listen, if we would just learn to give some of these things up, we'd be surprised how many people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whatever happened to God's people saying, well, you know what, I could do this, but I'm not going to. Let me ask you this, what about what we wear? Don't get quiet on me. What we wear, does it blend in with society or does it stand out? Understand my heart, church. I'm not talking about being a religious nut, okay? But we ought not look like the world. Amen? There ought to be a difference there. There ought to be something that stands out. And can I just say this? And I'm talking to men and ladies. If you're going to dress modestly, you're going to have to sacrifice. Sometimes it ain't going to be comfortable. Sometimes it's going to get hot. Amen? But whatever happened to God's people saying I'm willing to give up some things so that people could look at my life and see there's a difference in my life. And they say, man, I want what that person has. When are we going to get to the point where we say, you know what? I'm just going to give that. I could do that, but I'm going to give that up because it's worth it. Does the world look at you within their mind and wonder why you dress the way that you dress? Or do they see no difference in you and just assume that you're one of them? Lord, if you do this, please forgive me. I'm not trying to make fun of you. And we ought not go to Walmart in our pajamas. Amen. And I know that sounds silly, but that is just laziness. Amen. I think we ought to be, I know y'all are laughing, but you know I'm telling you the truth. We ought to be well-dressed. And I'm not saying you got to wear a suit and tie everywhere you go. But we ought to present ourselves well. Amen? We ought to present ourselves and we're representing Jesus Christ. Listen, this liberty thing we've got. Listen, I don't got to dress like Brother Jason and Brother Jason don't got to dress like me. We've got liberty. We've got the Holy Spirit to tell us what we wear. But listen, we ought not abuse that liberty that rejects people from the gospel. Let me ask you this. Does your liberty produce salt? I had to say it back in the youth group. We'd always say, why are you being so salty? That is a slang word for, I don't know, Brandon, why are you mad or why are you irritated? Why are you being salty? We'd always say that. I was thinking about that. I studied for this. Anybody else say that or is that just a thing? Okay, amen. I was thinking about that. I was like, salty. Let me ask you this. Does your Christian liberty produce salt? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Y'all know where I'm going. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, ye are salt of the earth. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always grace, with grace seasoned with salt. What does salt do? It creates thirst. How many ever ate at a restaurant, man? You eat something salty and you got a sorry waiter, a sorry waitress that doesn't come by and fill you up. You feel like you're about to, now we're spoiled, all right? You feel like, man, I just want some more water. I'm eating something, I'm thirsty. That's what salt does. It creates a desire for something. It creates a thirst for something. Our liberty in Christ ought to cause, man, the world ought to be foaming at the mouth saying, man, I want what they got. I wish I had what they got. You know what Jesus said? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's what our life, our liberty ought to do. Man, ought to make people thirsty. And they ain't going to get it with us. But you know what we do? Hey, let me show you where I got a drink. And we point them to Jesus. John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, you know the story, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He begins to converse with her. But I love what she says in verse number 15 of John 7. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. Our life ought to put off such an example that, man, people are foaming. They're so thirsty. And we don't even, we just point them to Jesus. They're so, oh, man, here's Jesus. And when we make them thirsty based on our Christian liberty, Jesus can give them what they're looking for. But a lot of times I've found in 2021, our Christian liberty, there's so much abuse of it that people ain't thirsty. You realize that you may be the only Bible that people ever read the way you live your life. Our liberty in Christ should cause a lost and dying world to be thirsty for the gospel of Christ. Your liberty should bring people to him, not repel them from him. Your liberty is limited by its impact on the lost. Let me give you this one. I need to move quickly. Also, your liberty is limited by its offense to believers. Look with me in verse number 32. Your liberty is limited by its offense to believers. Look what Paul says. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That word offense means not causing to stumble. In other words, Paul says, none of our behaviors should encourage another believer to sin. Our lifestyle should be in a way that is never called into question by another believer. How does that happen? When another believer is abusing their Christian liberty, it can cause another believer to scratch their head and say, man, I thought that the Bible says that was sin, but you know what? I guess if they're doing it, maybe I'm just interpreting it wrong and maybe it's okay. Listen, our Christian liberty ought to be way above that. It ought to rise way above other believers scratching their head. Let me give you these and I'll move forward. Number three, your liberty is limited by self-centeredness. Look with me in verse number 24. Your liberty is limited by self-centeredness. Verse number 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That word wealth is not talking about money. It's talking about the well-being. It's their benefit. You know, chapters 8, 9, and 10 of Corinthians, that's what it's dealing with. It's dealing about building other people up. Let no man seek his own, but we abuse our Christian liberty when it's all about us. We're too busy seeking our own. You know what? We'll take that Christian liberty and we'll do what's best for us. Well, I can, and buddy, I'm going to. And that's what Paul said. It's not about you. See, this whole Christian liberty thing has nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with other people, not us. But man, when we abuse it, it's self-centered. We're seeking to please ourselves. Your liberty is limited by self-centeredness. In other words, they come to church and say, what can I get out of it? What can I get out of it? What can I get out of this relationship? What can I get out of this church? What can I get out of it? Just because something is fine for me does not mean that I should do it. Somebody said this. He said, my own rights or what I know to be permitted for myself are not the standards by which I judge my behavior. We must consider what is the loving thing to do towards my brothers and sisters in Christ. Number four, Your liberty is limited by the conscience. Look with me in verse number 25. Your liberty is limited by the conscience. Verse number 25. Whatsoever is sold in shambles. That word shambles is another word for a meat market, like a butcher shop. You look it up. Whatsoever sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth, he's quoting Psalms, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, say, listen, God's the one that created this meat. It's all right. Watch this, verse number 27. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, in other words, if an unbeliever invites you over to eat and ye disposed to go, you say, you know what, I'm going to go. Whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it. And for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Four times we see that word. That word conscience means inward morals, our judgment of right and wrong. It is the power or principle within us which describes the lawfulness or unlawfulness of our own actions and affections. It instantly approves or condemns us. Listen, it may not violate what you believe, but if it violates the conscience of somebody else, you're wrong. You say, preacher, well, the Bible says it's okay. You're missing the forest and the trees. Listen, if it violates, listen, you got to understand the context. These Corinthians, that they're saved out of this pagan idolatry. And they thought that this meat sacrificed to idols. They thought, man, we can't eat that because that was a sacrifice to idols. But you remember Paul says, no, it's just meat. It ain't going to draw you closer and make you further away from God. But you understand what they're dealing with. Man, they didn't really want to eat that meat because what was going on behind the scenes. And Paul says, listen, you know you can eat it and it's okay. He says, but they don't. He said, and when you eat it, you're violating their conscience. Listen to me. Some people have more stricter standards than you do. And that's okay. We don't push them on other people. People don't push them on us. I've got a certain way that I raise my family. You got a certain way you raise your family. And that's okay. We stick to the Bible. But if I knew, and I'm just trying to use an example, if I knew some of the things that Brother Shane and Kelly did with their children, and I believe with all my heart that, you know what, they don't let them do some things, but when I study my Bible, I believe that it's okay. And if I invited them over, and I did those things and I violated his conscience, I'm in the wrong. Does that make sense? That's where we abuse. Listen, just because you think it's right, they may not think it's right. Just because you think it's wrong, they don't. Listen, doesn't make it right. The whole point of this is to build up. Listen, what are we going to give up to build each other up? Sometimes we got to lay some things down. Let me give you the last one. Your liberty is limited by who and what gets the glory. Your liberty is limited by what or who that gets the glory. Verse number 31. It all comes down to this. Whether therefore you eat or drink, and he just puts it all together, right? Or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of who, church? God. You know the whole reason you exist is to glorify God. That's the whole reason we're here tonight. That's the whole reason we're on this earth, is to glorify Jesus Christ. That word glorify means to make big. It means to magnify. Let me ask you this. Are you magnifying God in your life through your Christian liberty? When people look at you, are you making God big? See, a lot of times people struggle because we focus on the sin that they're doing, when really we ought to be focusing on Christ in them. Not looking on them, but looking at Christ in them. You'll have a lot better time with people when you stop looking at all their faults and look at Jesus Christ in them. But can I just say this? It helps when we magnify Jesus in our life. It helps when we make God big in our life. The whole point of this Christian liberty is so that God, or that people, would see God in and through us. Let me close. I'll give you this. In 1835... it was a German chemist. His name was Justus von Leinbig. He devised a process for coating plates of glass with metallic silver. This was the beginning of the mirror as we know it today. And all the ladies said, Amen. And over time, it became a common household item. The mirrors in our homes are made in similar fashion by what they would evaporate a very thin layer of silver on the glass. And we know that when we look in a mirror, we see ourselves. But you know what Paul tells the Corinthians? If you were to skip and go to 1 Corinthians 15:49, this is what he said. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Then he said this in his second letter. He said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question tonight? Within your Christian liberty, are you the mirror that God wants you to be? Or do we abuse the Christian liberty that's been bestowed upon us in a way of self-centeredness? I'm going to take this liberty and do what I want to do with it. Or do we say, God, thank you for the liberty. And Lord, I just want to make you big. I want to glorify you. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Does your liberty point people to God? Or does it turn them away from God? Is He being magnified? Or are you being magnified? Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I ask God that you just help us. Lord, with the message, God, that we would apply these principles of Christian liberty. Lord, that we would not use it as a license to do what we want. But Lord, that we would take it and we'd build up other people with it. We'd build up our fellows and our sisters in Christ, and Lord, that a lost and dying world would look at the liberty that we have and we would produce it in such a way that they would desire what we have.